random observation to start today's edition of CNN Student News. Fridays are awesome. I'm Carl Azus at the CNN Center. We're starting today's 10 minutes of news coverage in the U.S. state of California. There are currently 9 large wildfires burning there. Tens of thousands of acres have been destroyed, hundreds of buildings and homes have been lost, and almost 10,000 firefighters are involved in trying to stop the blazes. This state is no stranger to these disasters. Throughout the summer, lightning strikes, campfires, sometimes arson sparks them. And the danger is so widespread because about a third of California's homes are in areas prone to wildfires, according to the U.S. Forest Service. Though this year's season has been destructive, its fires are not setting records at this point. Still, a severe drought that has parched parts of California for years, combined with the warm, dry Santa Ana winds that blow westward in the fall, could make things worse. Here's perspective on one of the wildfires that's currently out of control.
This blue cut fire has been an erratic blaze for firefighters to battle. That's because with the winds coming in, it is burning in multiple directions. And it is also, it has plenty of fuel as this is a really dry, parched part of California as we've been under drought conditions for several years now. We were talking to one fire official who was talking about the danger as well of these power lines that are out here. Listen to what he had to say.
Those power lines are called KV lines, and it's a huge concern for us. They have a high amount of electricity, hundreds of thousands of volts in those KV lines. It impacts our aircraft. It makes it unsafe for aircraft to fly above them.
And those embers are really a big concern because those spot fires can blow up into new branches of this fire, and that is what they are concerned about. Thousands of people remain under evacuations, mandatory evacuations. They are fighting this fire from the sky. Also, hand crews are out there as well as bulldozers to try to battle this blaze. But let me just show you what something that this fire has done. Take a look at this right here. This is a school bus where the fire has already run through. Unbelievable the damage, how the wheels have been burned off, the glass broken out all by the blaze here. And this you can see in this little community here, a little rural community, but obviously very devastating for the people who live here to see so much of what they own burned up and destroyed. Stephanie Elam, CNN, San Bernardino County, California.
There's another side to a recent story that involved 4 U.S. Olympic swimmers in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. On Wednesday, we reported that Olympic gold medalist Ryan Lochte said he and 3 other Americans were in a taxi when they were stopped by armed men and robbed. But yesterday, Brazilian police said there was no robbery. They said the 4 Americans, who were intoxicated, were stopped by a security guard because the swimmers vandalized a gas station. Brazilian officials say police questioned their claim of having been robbed, in part because their stories about it didn't quite match up. 3 of the swimmers are still in Brazil. 2 had their passports taken, so they couldn't leave. Lochte is back in the U.S., and his lawyer says none of the American swimmers committed a crime. If Brazilian police determined that they did, though, Rio's civil police chief says it's not the kind of crime they'd be arrested for. They might instead be charged with lying to police and damaging private property. The investigation continues. As the floodwaters rose in Louisiana, one resident of suburban Baton Rouge left his neighborhood in a truck. He had to come back in a boat. The Red Cross called Louisiana's recent flooding the worst natural disaster to hit the U.S. since Superstorm Sandy struck the Northeast in 2012. The cause of all this was rain, historic amounts of it, and more is in the forecast. A CNN meteorologist says because Louisiana's topography is so flat, it could take many days for waters to recede in some areas. Still, there are small signs of recovery.
Well, take a look behind me and you'll see the story that we're seeing right here, right now in southern Louisiana. You'll see mounds of stuff down the street. That's as people are trying to rebuild their homes and their lives. Take a look here. You'll see they're bringing out everything that was soaked inside their houses. This is just the first step. And just to let you know, I've been with first responders going door to door as they look for people to make sure that they're okay. And they tell me that this is a good sign because when they see mounds of stuff in front of homes, that means that the homeowner is okay and that they're starting to rebuild their lives.
The U.S. National Park Service, which oversees and maintains hundreds of national parks, monuments, and historic sites, officially turns 100 years old next week. Through the end of the month, we're featuring a series of reports on the NPS. And today we're taking you to northwestern Wyoming. That's the site of Grand Teton National Park. It was first established in 1929, and many of those who work there today specialize in saving lives.
The majesty of the Tetons is what draws people here. There's another layer, and that is I can look at the range and say, people have died there.
You can basically access any part of the Teton backcountry in a day's hike. That also means that it's easy for people to get into trouble sometimes. They think, oh, I'm just going to climb the Grand Teton in a day, and they may go in their sneakers and their running shorts. If somewhere along that way they fall, they roll a boulder, they break their leg, now they've done something that could jeopardize their life.
The plan right now is that Sip's going to be climbing with a 250-foot rope.
As Jane Lake Climbing Rangers, one of our primary jobs is to respond to any sort of rescue or search that might happen in the backcountry up in the mountains. That can run anywhere from a lost kid near the campground by Jenny Lake, or it could be a major tragedy in the mountains involving several people in a climbing fall. This is a mix, a mash of steep terrain, rocky river crossings, everything like that. So if we do have to go out on a search or a rescue, it isn't just one simple technique. It's a combination of everything. It may be partly flying to get close to where the patient is. It may be a litter transport, maybe steep terrain to lower them on ropes and everything else. In our work, when we're off on a rescue, there are times when the situation will be heinous. Being able to look at someone, your colleague, and know that they are there for you and you are there for them is a bond that is rare in almost any other sort of work group. At the end of a big rescue, we might have brought back a husband, a father, a mother, a daughter, and that in turn has an impact on us. I can't be more proud to be a Jenny Lake Ranger. It's awesome.
Not every day you see something this eye-opening on the ocean floor. First, it doesn't look like much, so let's get a close-up. Too close, too close! This wide-eyed stare had researchers aboard the EV Nautilus using words like googly-eyed and fake. But it's not. It's a stubby squid. It hides itself and uses those eyes to track potential prey. Though in this case, it's probably shocked at the giant lit-up camera that sank down into its environment. What helped it win the staring contest was the sheer depth of the competition. There was so much going on below the surface. You can easily see that under the sea, anything is cephalopodsible. We're going to squid while we're ahead. We got to squidaddle anyway. We hope you have a great weekend and that you'll keep an eye out for more CNN student news on Monday.